I know I'm in the right vocation. I don't know why God made me allergic to church. Well, let's start with the good news today, okay? How about those readings today? Kind of weighty, right? But the good news is this. I suspect you've noticed the figurine, or can I call it a statue? I'm sure you saw on the announcements on the screens last week that as a parish we received from the Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan the Outstanding Parish of the Year Award. Congratulations to you. Now, how do you think we got that award? We gave a bunch of money. That's kind of that's the short answer. But really, it was really nice. And, I'm very happy to spend a couple of extra minutes to tell you about this because, like many parishes, our numbers aren't what they were. We all know that. I mean, it's no big shock. I mean, it's been COVID and all of that. I asked last year, this current year, for an increase in our CSA, and I really can only thank you. We're pretty close to $40,000 above our CSA. We asked for $50,000. Thank you. Really, thank you. That money really goes because it is kind of the course of our practice. Last year, the Catholic Charities has an annual fundraising dinner every year. And last year we had gone, and their program, their feature last year was assisting mothers in need, basically single mothers and those who have newborns that really don't have the resources. So we made a $10,000 donation. They're going, where'd you get that money? That's why I'm making the distinction. I think you recall that we do have money in the bank. And I've made the point, it's kind of irritating, really. We have money in the bank, but I suppose in a certain wisdom, the Archdiocese does not let us use our savings for our operating budget. So I want to be clear. The money you gave that is over above our CSA will go to our operating budget. There is still a big hole in that budget because of the lack of students in the charter school, another consequence of the pandemic. In fact, at least one of the modulars is not being used anymore, and it's used as storage because the kids that used to be in there, well, aren't here anymore. But again, if you recall back in 2012, it's getting to be, 13 or so years ago now, at the close and sell of St. Denis, we have those monies. And because we have those monies, there was what was called at the time use of the proceeds of the sale of church property. Anyway, long story short, we have agreed with the Archdiocese to give directly to charity $50,000 a year. Now, I don't remember off the top of my head who all those charities are. The last couple of years, it's been Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan. Some of us went to the charity fundraiser a week or so ago, and we made another donation similar to the $10,000. And this year, their primary focus is going to be on what's called Residences at St. Matthew's. If you're familiar, St. Matthew is a Catholic parish on the east side of Detroit, and they have transformed their former school into 25 apartments for homeless people. And they were trying to raise, $125,000 or $225,000? Anyways, we gave another donation for that. Over the last, I don't think it's 10 years, I'm sure it's 8 or 9, we've given $10,000 to the Dominican Literacy Center. I don't remember the statistics exactly, but years ago, when I was still in the seminary as a seminarian, the number 47 comes to mind, 47%. Of those living in Detroit were illiterate. They couldn't read. How do you fill out a job application, read a menu at a restaurant, or read street signs to know how to drive? So we've been doing that for many years, and I'm really rather proud of that, and there's many others. We give $10,000 to St. Vincent de Paul every year, and there's a list of about 10 other agencies, Right to Life programs, and other such things that we're able to do because we can take those monies out of our savings that don't disrupt the uneasy balance of our general budget. So anyways, congratulations to you. For the size of parish that we are now, for the demographics we are economically and age-wise, we're really a pretty active parish. Kudos to the Christian Service Commission, which is now called Evangelical Charity. Marianne Shibish is coordinating that meeting, and there's a group of 8 or 10, maybe 12 in that group, and their primary works are many. You certainly know about the Christmas giving tree, the Thanksgiving donation baskets, Mercy Day, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and other programs throughout the year. So a parish our size and with our demographics, we are a pretty active parish. So congratulations to you. Among my many faults, I won't go into that long list. I don't want you to be here that long. But probably I should be asking you more. I should be asking you more often to be involved, to get engaged. You know, of the number of, we have about 760 or 770 families now, about 200 of which are active. I know everybody, just about everybody by name here by now. I'll be here 20 years next year. And it's really the same probably, what would you say, maybe 30 or 35 people that are consistently active in the parish. Think about being active. We've got another full page of announcements, and most of those are activities or engagements that are really put together for you to help you exercise and practice your faith. So congratulations to you and to we as a parish. May God continue to bless us with the resources that we have so that we can continue to carry out the works that we have. Some of the comments that were said about us, not only because of the donations we made in the last couple of years for these major programs through Catholic Social Services, but the charity that we offer as a community, our particular projects we hosted. I know he just came and spoke for 5 minutes, Mr. Paul Proptel, I think his name, who is the director of Catholic Services. We have a dedicated social service program because we share Christ's love to help the world be a better place. Hey, that's on you. Way to go. Again, please come up and take a view of the statue if you care, if you like. I have an idea that we'll probably put it in the entrance to the parish office so it can be seen by all. I don't know that we'll leave it here in church, but way to go. Paul Harvey, page 2. Well, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month, it doesn't matter. The phrase came to mind, no good deed goes unpunished. Did you ever hear that? Never happened to you? Yeah. Odd, isn't it? Occasionally, but now and again, the second reading, as today, really becomes the access point to the overall theme of each of the readings and all the readings together. You could tell by the tone and the nature of the readings that the issue is a difficult one, and yet it is undeniably ever present, and yet rarely given appropriate attention. You know very well, I hope and pray, that our faith is a verb. It's an action word that we put into practice. And as Christians, there's even music. They know that we are Christians by our love. So that we're really called to follow the way of light and goodness. But with that, and the more we try to do that, we are consistently experiencing the tension of evil and the disorder and the chaos of darkness, are we not? If anybody is vaguely aware, and I know you are, if you listen to the news, there's a lot of dark and bad things, evil things that are going on in the world, and it can't be denied. I've said time and time again, in various and many ways, your life as a Christian is so important that you pray, you believe in God, you believe in God's love. And it's not just me and God, oh, my life is so good because I believe in Jesus. We're here for one another, and our prayer pushes, and our love as Christian pushes back, you know, the darkness and the evil that seemingly is so pervasive, and we get to think that there's more evil in the world than good. Well, there isn't, but we can't hide it and keep it in ourselves. St. James focuses that for us when he asks rather poignantly, where do the wars and the conflicts among you come from? He goes on to say that it is because it's your passions. Now, that's not an easy question, and I can't sufficiently answer the whole thing, because I'm probably not competent to, but I can't do that in a Sunday homily. I know you want to get your dinner in the oven by 3:30 or so. But still, in the mind and the example of Christ, there's a lot that we can look at in these realities. So let me probe the subject this way. Please be aware, in the broad sense, and in a very clear sense, there's three spirits in the world. There's the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and the evil spirit. And you know all three, or you should. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of love, and the love that is the divine essence. It's the fullness of God in the divine Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. God is in you through baptism, and you are in God in and through Christ. That's basic foundation of who we are in God, in Christ. We're spiritual beings. We're animated because God blew into the nostrils of the human person the breath of life, i.e. the Holy Spirit. The human spirit is expressed in your personality, your temperament, your ego. Ego is a good thing. You can't live without an ego. Your likes and your dislikes, your will and your wants, your autonomy as a person or lack thereof. Autonomy or integration? Are you a well-balanced person? Nobody has to answer out loud. The evil spirit is the absence of love expressed in darkness, lies, chaos, confusion, and disorder. So where you see lies, chaos, confusion, and disorder, pretty good evidence there's some kind of evil and distortion of good going on there. And what's the purpose? To defeat the light and the goodness of love, order, and virtue, the virtue that seeks God. So what is the energy? What's the energy between good and evil? Now, we all feel it, don't we? We do. If you're not conscious of it, it's there. What does the work of evil seek to gain or try to accomplish? What is all that? The church teaches and believes that there is such a thing as personified evil. And it's true. We can see it if we pay attention. But that's not a statement of fear. I came across, really pretty much by accident, comments of Fulton Sheen. And he said, quite correctly, that you can defeat the power of evil, who's really a big chicken, the name of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, and the prayer of Mary, a Hail Mary. Simple. You and I are people in light. Evil in the world is the total and active rejection of God, and not only God, but the good of God, the good that God is and the good that God does through you and I. Suffice it to say, I'm sure that many of you, as myself, have seen and heard and experienced the wiles of hate and evil Its basic reality is sin and temptation. But let me be clear. I hate to put it so blandly, but day-to-day sin does not make you evil. We're all sinners, right? We're all weak. There is a word, concupiscence. There is in human nature a proneness to sin. I can't diminish the negative consequence of sin, but every sin does not make a person evil. That's deeper, it's darker. Sometimes it's freely chosen, but there's other reasons. So that in the frame of today's reading, we can gain important insight from St. James. He believes, and I share his belief, that war and conflict come from our passions. Language we might use today, our inner emotions, our inner self. Maybe more simply, James is referring to those unresolved, buried emotions that aren't as buried as we think they are. Unresolved hurts, losses, disappointments, injustice, sometimes abuse, neglect, and abandonment, those kinds of things that happen to people in life, that's true, and they trap us in various attitudes of fear and resentment, bitterness and negativity, payback, resentment, and revenge. Somehow needing or demanding some kind of retribution, some kind of payback. I'm not going to forgive until I get something back. Can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. The first reading captures that rather clearly. It's almost like someone is thinking out loud and doesn't realize it. Let's beset the just one because they're obnoxious to us. Let us set ourselves against their good doings. Why is that? Because the virtues of the righteous often serve to agitate and expose the sin and rejection of God by the wicked. They're trying to wear out and conflict and defeat the righteous by wearing them down. Oh, fine, just go on. You know, I've had enough. I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, and that kind of dragging down can weigh us down against our goodness. That's the tension between good and evil. I hesitate to make it personal, but it's a good example, and I'm sorry to say it's a difficult one. Isn't it that kind of behavior found in those who've suffered the absence of love in their lives? Dysfunctional families, addictions, abandonment, hate, fear, neglect, the list is long. Everybody here will immediately recognize Ethan Crumley. I don't mean to be political. I'm not trying to judge anybody. We've all heard the news and gone through the trial about that young man. How might it have been different? If his parents had listened to him, how might it have been different if they responded to his needs? It's messy business. But when people live in neglect and abandonment and an absence of love, security, acceptance, and belonging, they don't feel heard or listened to, what goes in then comes out. That's the passion, if you will, that St. James is talking about. So that all of a sudden, the person, just somebody like Ethan, and there's others. Wasn't there a story just last week, another 14-year-old with an AK, Azu, whatever kind of gun, and he shot several kids in his own school? A 14-year-old is ruined. That life is ruined by the time they've hit puberty. That kid didn't wake up just one day and say, you know, I'm going to heck with this. Life is hard. I'm going to just be evil. It'll be more fun anyway. People don't do that. There's reasons. There's causes. That's why you and I pray, you see. It's easy to judge those things. You can look at all the hate, the generational hate in the Middle East. That's a different level, isn't it? That's why we pray, and we can't just say, oh, well, those people over there. It impacts the whole world, you see. That's why your prayer, your light, your faith is so important. When people don't have that stability and love and acceptance, they lose the capacity to control the deep hurt and anger of their emotional pain, and they explode in these kinds of acting out. Evil and good are always going to be in tension. Notice in the gospel, Jesus predicts his suffering and death. The disciples don't get it. Well, we probably wouldn't either. I mean, that's a pretty shocking prophecy, right? Who or how would anybody want to harm or kill Jesus in the power of all his light and goodness? But it's exactly what they wanted to do, because there was that epic tension against the light and the goodness of God and the chaos, darkness, and confusion, the lie and deception of evil, and boom, they ran into each other. Now, again, we can blame, and probably rightly so, the religious leaders and others. They couldn't tolerate the light of Jesus because he was messing up their religion system. He was stealing their power of the God they believed in. But God was the true God. The older I get, the more I study and the more I pray, Christianity makes infinite sense to me. You say, well, and as radical as it is, because it's so human. God became like us in flesh, without the darkness and confusion of sin, so he could show us what the fullness of humanity, what the fullness of the human person could be. So what do? Don't miss the point. Don't miss the power and the will of divine love. That's the ground of your faith, right? That we believe in a God of love. And I constantly make the point, God's love is not just a much higher reality of the perfect human being. God's love is transcendent. It's other. It's an essence. It's unchanging. And it's given to us in the person of Jesus. Don't forget that power, because Fulton Sheen was correct. The power of the name of Jesus, the power of his precious blood, and the power of the prayer, Hail Mary and other Marian prayers, of Mary, the Mother of God, Queen of Creation, and Mother of the Church. God will not allow sin and evil to have victory over the goodness of humanity and all creation. That's what the cross is about. Ugly and wretched as it is, it's beauty. Because, as I've said 100 times, he did that with pure love, without bitterness or resentment. He didn't hang up there saying, you people owe me big time. He did that out of love, and it defeated evil. Because love is greater than evil. And that's why your love is important. It's pretty obvious to say the incarnation is radical, but it's radical love. The cross is radical love. The reality of the divine mercy is radical forgiveness in love. Resurrection is new life of radical love, because love gives life. You know that. For heaven's sakes, Mel and Maria are married 60 years now, only because their love continues. I can't believe. Okay, Mel, be nice. He was so patient, caring for Marie when she was ill. That's an amazing story that she's gotten better. That's love. So there's a shout out, Marie. I know it takes a long time to train a good husband, and you've really been very patient. You see the power of love? I won't pick on anybody else. So what to do? Believe in Christ. Practice your faith. I have religion written here. Practice your faith. Come to church, because they're deeply related. But faith and religion are different. You believe from your heart, from your being, your soul. Believe, practice faith, love God from your heart and soul in a way that you can see and feel. Love yourself. Love others from your heart. The hard part, love your enemies. Love those who get on your nerves, and love those who've hurt you. Hard, right? At least without biting your tongue, say a Hail Mary for them. Forgive. Pay attention to your emotional, relational, physical, and spiritual health, and the health of those you live with, or work with, or go to school with. We're responsible for one another. Tragedies that these young kids have these problems and they ruin their lives before they're 15 years old. Somebody needs to be watching for that, parents and others. Check yourself for the Holy Spirit. Are you living in a manner of love? Check your human spirit. Are you, at least in the broad sense, happy? Largely at peace with yourself and others. Can you imagine Coach Campbell, Dan Campbell, had to move because some crazy Lion fan was threatening his house and home and family just because somebody didn't win a football game? Check your Holy Spirit self. Check your human self, your human spirit. Are you stuck in anger, unforgiveness, resentment, or other binding emotions? Those are not from God, and God can and will heal that. It'll take work, but God can heal those. Check yourself against the confusion, the lie, and deception of evil. If you're constantly under the weight of self-judgment, the inner critic, that inner talk, inner self-talk that carries shame and rejection and blame, if you're always in bitterness and complaints without gratitude, that's not from God. Pray. Go to confession. Use the name of Jesus. Trust. Your sins are forgiven. But because we are people of light, evil will agitate us. We call it warfare. God is near. God knows you. You know God. Cling to Him. My friends, be at peace. He died. He rose again, and He'll come again. You're going to heaven, and so am I. Praise be God.